So I'm lightly afraid that I'm like getting a little baby cold, just like a skosh of one.
And which, it's not just allergies at the hay fever.
I mean, a hay fever? That was what?
What? Don't tell me you don't know what that is. All my coworkers looked at me like I was some like redneck asshole when I said hay fever the other day. And then I said it was from ragweed, and then they laughed harder. And I was like, you guys, I mean, this is a real thing.
I know that it's a real thing, but like I also think that no one says hay fever.
All right, that's fine. Anyway, so you don't have hay fever. Go ahead.
I don't think that I have hay fever. At first I was like feeling like I've had allergy stuff, which I think that I have, and maybe this is like a light combined thing. Mm-hmm. But I was around someone with the cold, and I just have a lot of shit going on. It would be inconvenient for me to get sick right now, but also like, when is it ever convenient? So I'm just trying to take care of myself. I'm like drinking a little white tea, which I kind of swear by in times of illness for whatever reason.
I do like white tea.
Yeah, white tea specifically. Well, I'll tell you the real reason I swear by it is when my mom was working like in an elementary school, my mom asked the secretaries who like deal with all like the snotty children kids are disgusting and like you're taking their temperature and shit. And my mom was like, all right, guys, what's your secret? You're not getting sick. So like, what do you do? And they were both like, we just chug white tea, which sounds like when you tell a woman she has beautiful skin and she's like, oh, I just drink a lot of water. And I'm like, bullshit.
It does.
But
those women, you know, probably have strong immune systems from all the exposure. But you got to be doing something, too.
I kind of think that the white tea works. But anyway, so I'm feeling this kind of way. So I'm like drinking my white tea. I'm trying to like be a little hydrated, but I don't really have like an appetite, which is probably also how I know that it's like more than allergies.
Yeah.
And you know that feeling.
I do.
But I was like, you know what I would like to eat?
What would you like to eat?
I had like a light body ache earlier, but then I was like, was that just because I wore a pair of shoes that like somehow affected me? I don't know. But, who's to say?
You can't know.
But we truly cannot know. But I will say, I thought earlier, I was like, I just want like a little bit of just like a couple pieces of like white bread toast with like a little butter on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that and I was like, ooh. And I said out loud, I was like, this tastes like I have the flu and my mom is taking care of me.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Sometimes you want to eat something that feels like what someone would do for you if you were like in trouble. But sometimes when you're single and live alone, you have to do it for yourself.
If you're
Is there, do you have a comfort food like that, that you're like, oh, this, not like a comfort food and like a, I really want a fucking slice of pizza. Like, I don't know if that's comfort food.
No, not like emotional eating. Like I don't feel good and.
Yeah, or like just like some like warm fuzzy nostalgia. Now that I'm saying this, I like kind of want to make mac and cheese. Ooh, my mom's recipe. You know the one.
I do. Ooh, I do.
So good.
In true Jamie Ryan form, I don't know if I have an answer for that question. I feel like just get whatever when I'm sick.
I've been craving Grater's ice cream, which is available in Chicago, but harder to come by. And I've just really been wanting it all day today, to be honest, also. I just want toast and Grater's. And so apparently I'm like, I'd like to have this cold and to like really pack on some pounds for winter. Just really lay on a layer.
Just a pure sugar diet, really. Carbs only. Yeah,
carbs only. No aspartame, though, please.
No. That'll really fuck it up. Don't do that.
Ugh, none of it. We know about the dangers. So, on that note, also, welcome to Home of the Dangers. Why are you like this?
Home of the Dangers. Welcome.
We can't afford to be third wave about that, so whatever.
Jamie is like ready to do just like late night phone sex ads, and honestly, like, here for it.
That's, you gaslight the teacher. Okay.
Who's participating in this study that's like, here, for like the $30, I like came in this cup so 30 different women could taste it? I'm like, who's that guy?
They're going to break your legs and feed you to the sharks.
This is what I want, because I assume these people get to have deep chats all the time together because they go to youth group. And I was like, I just want someone to talk to me, and I was just like,
anal insertions aside,
I do believe in fairies. I do.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This? the weekly podcast that is home of the dangers, where we
whatever
dissect
that
some...
means. Jesus.
Listen though, don't you want to be home of the dangers? Don't derail me.
I would love
me.
To. Yeah.
Listen, this is truly home of the dangers because while this is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, pseudoscience, real science, light psychology, and a several of the Wikipedia article, this is the beginning and the inaugural episode of our favorite October tradition. If you were with us last year, welcome back.
Welcome.
Because it's Spooktober, motherfuckers.
Indeed it is. I hope everyone's feeling very spooky.
I hope you are. Here's the thing. Spooktober is Why Are You Like This's very own Treehouse of Horror, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to the month of October, where we're going to hold it down. We're going to only tell you about shit that's like a little woo-woo and maybe a little scary, but like generally in the theme of October. And if you're into like a back reel on this, you could revisit our Spooktober episodes from last year, which include things but are not limited to discussions about blood, ghosts, and plague doctors.
Cannibalism. So many fun
things. Oh, we
things.
Did talk cannibalism. Truly, I mean, what's scarier than cannibalism? I don't know. We'll try and top it.
I don't know. Maybe just peeking, but that's pretty much it.
Well, peeking is maybe the worst. But listen, Spooktober's even more special this year than last.
So
much
more
special.
Do you want
to tell the listeners why?
I would love to. So this year's Spooktober series, all five episodes in October, will be sponsored by Rhino Ceramics. Rhino Ceramics is owned and operated by a friend of the show, Jessie Reinerth, and she is sponsoring Spooktober. So thank you very much to Rhino Ceramics and Jessie.
Yeah, more about her and that whole shebang
pottery.
Later.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll tell you more later. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But all of that to say, Spooktober is my favorite podcast tradition, perhaps. And on that note, what the hell are we talking about tonight?
On this first week of October, we will be diving into something that I have wanted to do since the conception of this podcast. So it's one of those episodes.
I feel like this is... People are going to start not believing you because you've said that on two episodes very recently, but I know that it's true.
Okay, but the Aspartame and Alestra episode and this episode were both like topics that I was, when we were coming up with this podcast, that I was thinking like, is this going to be everything that I do on this podcast? Like, could the podcast be about aspartame or about...
Or about what? What are we talking about tonight that it could be all about this?
Our podcast truly could be all about this topic. It is so unbelievably broad, but I am going to attempt to give us a little peek into the concept of magic.
Oh, can you spell that word for the listeners?
I would love to spell that word. In my notes and in a lot of the reading I've done this week, it's been spelled M-A-G-I-K.
That's right, kids.
Similar to Magic the Gathering, it's spelled that way, but they're interchangeable. You write it down however you'd like. It doesn't matter.
That's right. But I'll tell you, my favorite thing that happened before we recorded this episode, just a few days ago, I get a text from you that says, get ready to go to fucking Hogwarts. The more I learn, the more I believe in magic. And so truly, I can't wait to unpack that because I'm like ready to go to fucking Hogwarts, okay?
Okay, yeah. So tonight we're going to talk like a little bit of general overview on like what is magic, what is it defined as, some word origin stuff. And then we're going to kind of skip forward into Western culture in the last couple 100 years and the theories behind how magic works, what's actually happening, and then a few of my personal favorite branches of magic. And then I'm going to tell you about a ritual that I did that may or may not have been a good idea.
Oh, wow. Listen, all you need to know from the jump is that we are not talking about sleight of hand, kids.
Oh, thank you for that clarification. I've actually thought multiple times that I should have written that down for myself somewhere, but I was like, I'll remember to mention. But no, this is not sleight of hand.
That's why there are two of us.
Thank you. Thank you. And I thought that too. I was like, she'll get there. Anyway.
If I don't do this, Austin will remember to say something.
Exactly. So.
So if this isn't sleight of hand, if this isn't David Blaine... Who is this? What are we talking about?
This is magical things happening in our world. This is witchcraft, voodoo dolls, people summoning spirits, chaos, okay. magic. We'll get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But to start,
magic. I really have feels about it, and I hope we get there.
The episode is structured to point us to chaos magic, so we are going there.
Oh, God bless. Get ready, guys, to go on a wild ride that's going to climax in chaos magic, which truly I can't imagine a greater climax. So
I love it. It's truly chaos. Anyway, so magic. This episode should not be treated as a how-to, even though I will tell you a couple of how-tos. Please don't actually do them. This is for entertainment only.
We're not magicians spelled with a C or a K, all right?
We are not. But if you would like to treat this as some sort of a fantasy Hogwarts-style academic situation,
I would
go there in your head. It might be fun. Okay, so magic is a very vast and broad topic, perhaps as broad as religion or science, which are topics I would, of course, never attempt to cover in a single episode. That being said, I will attempt to give a general overview of magic, but like I said, I'm going to narrow down on some methodologies and rules.
That's a really broad way and like good descriptor because, yeah, we couldn't be like, we're going to do an episode on science.
Right.
Like, what would that even be?
Exactly. So that was how complicated this was to put together. So just keep that in your head. Know that there's volumes and volumes and volumes and lifetimes of material out there on this shit. If you want to go read it, go find it. Have fun.
Boom, done.
So before I read like some hard definitions, what is your belief level in magic? Do you like think that like when you do tarot, does that feel magical or like crystal shit or just like everyday things? I don't know. What's your vibe?
Well, I'm not a crystal person, but I'm open to crystals.
That's
how I probably feel. If you listen, we're open to crystals. I haven't dug in super hard on it. Although one time an ex-boyfriend who like tried to make like several sexual advances on me, like put a piece of rose quartz in my hand and was like, just hold on to this. And I was like, am I a part of a weird seance right now that you think is going to get me to have sex with you?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, it did not. So,
I did end up with that piece of crystal.
Piece of quartz, so I keep it in my bathroom, which I feel is appropriate.
It is.
Why would I get rid of it?
No, don't.
Anyway, I mean, I wouldn't, but like, I'm like open to crystal juju because I'm open to anything that's of the earth. Says the girl who like drinks a lot of weird roots and powdered mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. I'm open to that. I am like a tarot person, but I don't know if I've ever really thought about the word magic in terms of tarot. I was also a Ouija board kid, so I'd say like my feelings on magic are that I'm like very open to it, and I probably fuck with some shit that people are like, oh, that's like magic adjacent or like touching magic, but that's never the syntax I've used around it, probably because like the things that I do that I'm into, like tarot, like having my cards read, like speaking with astrologers on a semi-regular basis,
mm-hmm.
all of that stuff, I feel like if I call it magic because of how magic is kind of spelled out in pop culture or whatever, makes it seem not real. And I think that I don't want to discredit my practice, but I don't think that other people feel like those things don't have merit and that magic itself is like a word that means it doesn't have merit. But you know what I mean? Like, my father's a chemist. I can't call things that I like magic.
Yes, that magic can have absolutely like a very demeaning connotation. It can take the legitimacy out of something so quickly.
All of a sudden we're at Hogwarts or this is like Fantasia 2000.
I think that I somewhat believe in magic in that.
Okay.
Like, I do think that if you have enough focus and intent and you're kind of like attuned to energies, the universe, etc., and you're really proactive, I think that there are ways to kind of like manipulate the world around you. Like,
I think what you're saying, I don't mean to cut you off, but like what you're saying is stuff that I think other people will talk about, but not using the word magic, of like speaking things into existence or like manifesting things for yourself. And like, I believe in that shit. So
yes, that's like the model of magic that I would maybe believe in, probably believe in.
Okay.
Like, okay. To
you can say you believe in it. you can say you believe in it.
Okay. So we have to do a Wikipedia definition. So are you ready for that?
Yeah, that's how we do the show. Break it down.
Okay, so Wikipedia says of magic that magic is a category into which have been placed various beliefs and practices considered separate from both religion and science. Emerging within Western culture, the term has historically often had pejorative connotations, as you mentioned.
Like I said, listen, yep. I'm so spot on right now.
With things labeled magical perceived as being socially unacceptable, primitive, mm-hmm. or foreign. Mm-hmm. Primitive, I think, is an important thing to highlight. The concept has been adopted by scholars in the humanities and social sciences who have proposed various different, often mutually exclusive definitions of the term. Many contemporary scholars regard the concept to be so problematic that they reject it altogether.
See, this is tough. This is like, to me, this kind of thing is always like my vibes on Eastern and Western medicine. I'm like, can't we just put the research in both and then take what doesn't work and leave the rest? I don't know.
This is how I feel about both medicine and magics and science.
And I just really believe that there's so much in the world that, at least presently with like our current set of toolbox items, we can't explain.
Absolutely. And a lot of scholars and anthropologists would classify like magic, religion, and science into kind of a like a developmental line for cultures, with magic being the most primitive, rudimentary way to explain a world that you don't understand. Then religion being the natural follow-up, where it gets kind of a structure and a deity or deities. And then eventually you get to science once you're able to learn and understand the real world around you and like learn about it.
What an interesting way for scientists to break it down. They really put themselves at the top of that pyramid, did they not?
They sure did. Good point.
They're like, let me tell you all the things that have led to science, the superior. I'm just
the
saying.
The most superior. You're right. Yeah. You're right. So before we move into any kind of principles or anything, I want to just talk about the word origin, because it kind of demonstrates how the word magic became villainized around the world.
Okay, yeah. No, I actually am very curious about this. And I think, to your point about it being villainized, and yeah, we've mentioned Hogwarts a bajillion times already, and honestly, I'm thankful, but I'll say that that's the kind of thing that people be like, oh, like when we were young and those books were new, people be like, you can't read that because it's like witchcraft, it's about magic. And so like any kind of like sorcery, Harry Potter was not the first and certainly won't be the last, but it gets the negative connotation that people are like, this is some woo-woo shit, I don't want people around.
Yep, yep. Magic, sorcery, witchcraft, it's of the devil.
Devil.
So, this is, again, some information from Wikipedia, but their article was truly very helpful. So,
it always is.
Word origin and villainization. The term magic derives from the old Persian word magu, M-A-G-U, a word that applied to a form of religious functionary about which little is known. So,
naturally,
just a word for some religious stuff. During the late 6th and early 5th centuries BCE, this term was adopted into ancient Greek, where it was used with negative connotations to apply to rites that were regarded as fraudulent, unconventional, and dangerous.
Oh.
This meaning of the term was then adopted by Latin in the 1st century BCE. Via Latin, the concept was incorporated into Christian theology during the 1st century CE, where magic was associated with demons and thus defined against religion and specifically against Christianity.
Which is how you get the Salem witch trials many years later.
And the article goes on to talk about that, how it then the Protestants picked it up and brought it to America, and then there was widespread fear and scapegoating. It's great.
Well, loosely great.
Loosely great. And by great, I mean truly horrible and
yes.
a mark on our society. But hey.
Yeah.
So that's a little juju on the overview of magic. Very, 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 very basic, obviously. And as I said, this is such a broad topic. Every culture around the world has different magical beliefs or practices. But for the sake of narrowing down the conversation, let's talk about Western concepts and theories of magic in the last few centuries. Roughly our time.
Okay, let's talk about it. Our time.
Our time.
That's a play I really didn't enjoy. No, that's Our Town. That's not Our Time.
Oh,
anyway.
I don't like that one either.
Yeah, it's a real, it really brings me down.
It's
anyway.
Just, yeah, whatever. All right. So there is a man named Sir James George Frazer who wrote a book in 1889 called The Golden Bough. And that was an extensive study about magic, the principles of magic, some about religion, how it all worked.
Was he a believer? Or was he like writing from a critical lens?
It seemed like he was truly neutral. Like he was very
curious. The best kind of writing.
Very curious about the subject, continued to learn. He said that he intended to just write a short paper on some principles that he had observed and found himself first publishing one volume in 1889 of The Golden Bough, and then eventually it turned into a 6-volume version.
Okay.
So he was just learning more and more and could not stop. But a lot of Western understanding of magic has been defined by Frazer in The Golden Bough. Go read it if you'd like. I'm sure it's fascinating. I didn't read all of it.
All right. Heard. Listen, we don't read the whole book for you guys. That's not how we do the show.
No. So Frazer noticed a kind of magic that he called sympathetic magic. He also called it imitative magic, and he says it's a type of magic based on imitation or correspondence. Those are the two methodologies that it can have, and I will explain what that is.
Okay, I'm very intrigued by this.
Frazer further subcategorized sympathetic magic into two varieties. He proposed that sympathetic magic would rely either on contact or contagion. And there's like two different laws. So bear with me and give me questions if this starts to get confusing.
Okay. Contact or contagion. I feel like I've heard these terms thrown around together before. So
the law of contact or contagion is that things which have once been in contact with each other continue to act on each other at a distance after the physical contact has been severed. He infers that whatever he does to a material object will affect equally the person with whom the object was once in contact, whether it formed part of his or her body or not.
This is very, I mean, this to me, where I go about things that I think a lot of people would agree with is like when you feel like a house or like something has like a bad energy, but it has nothing to do with like the current tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, because people like leave their mark. I don't know. If you believe in
or like
energies
haunted objects,
and shit like that.
I feel like that reminds me of. Or even like Horcruxes, honestly, because like when they hurt the Horcrux, Voldemort can feel it. It still acts on him.
Well, that's the object is like part of his soul. That's why he can feel it.
I mean, that's fair. Yes. Yes.
Listen, we don't have time. This is, I feel like Harry Potter fans everywhere are like, excuse me, I have a different.
It's fine.
About this.
Okay, it's fine. We don't have to know how.
We're not here to live there. But we cannot derail on Horcruxes.
We will.
But
not.
Yeah, no. I hear what you're saying, and I do think there's something to that. I do think there's something how even things that you've owned or like still own can feel some kind of way, and I don't mean this stylistically. But, like, I think clothing sometimes for me, there's stuff that I'm like, oh, like, I can't wear this because I just felt like, I just feel, like, younger in it. Not because of the cut, not because it's not in style, but there's something about the way I was in it. Or, like, if you ever have something on when something really bad happens, you, like,
you
associate that with it. Yeah, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. But I don't know if that somebody else would feel that way about, like, my sweater the same way I felt that way about my sweater. You know what I mean? I don't know.
They might feel some vibes on it. Like if you were killed in a sweater, I feel like someone who was like looking at that sweater at a secondhand store, which it should be in a police bag somewhere, but for some reason it's at a thrift store in this example. The person might feel some weird vibes in that sweater. I feel like it would.
I think that's real.
Continue to have juju on it. I don't know. That's like war weapons. Like a.
Yeah.
Like a sword that's killed people, I feel like has
Mm-hmm.
like a life of its own. I don't know.
I do feel that. I certainly feel that. Yeah, I can get down with this.
Yeah. And then this is also kind of like voodoo doll kind of style things. Like if I wanted to put a curse on you and I took some object that was important to you or like a little bit of your hair or something.
Right.
And then
right.
kind of like affected you from a distance because I had that object.
That is so crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
It is so crazy. So his other law is the law of similarity. This okay. law states that like produces like, or that an effect resembles its cause. Now, bear with me, because this one seems a little counterintuitive to me. So,
okay, I'm listening.
The example that I kept finding online was that in olden times, people thought that turmeric would cure jaundice, because the turmeric is yellow, and the jaundice makes you yellow. And so the idea is, if you have an illness that's yellow, something yellow would treat it, because like produces like. But like,
You know what, there's not a lot of science behind this in this moment, but I love turmeric, so
that's true. So the examples that I thought of for this, and then like lined up with some other things I read, were like in Fantasia, when Mickey like has a wand and is dancing, and he's making the objects dance, and he's kind
of the broom and the bucket, and
right,
yeah.
he's mimicking the motions that he wants them to like start doing, and then they kind of just right. get swept up into it. That is the law okay. of similarity. He has whatever powers he has, and he is like creating a motion that is being then mimicked by these inanimate objects.
Yeah, I feel like we see magic illustrated that way in.
Absolutely.
Like film and fantasy a lot of the time. Totally.
Yes. Totally. So the methods that were discussed in the Golden Bow, B-O-U-G-H, bow?
Bow, bow, bee, bop-a-doo, bop, bee-bidi-bop-boop.
You say it how you want. I've been saying bow, so I'll just stick with it.
Live there.
So the methods that he mentions are imitation and correspondence. So okay. imitation involves using effigies, fetishes, or puppets to affect the environment of people or occasionally people themselves. Voodoo dolls
okay.
are an example of
fetishes. I was going to say, so this is definitely voodoo. Okay.
Exactly. Or using a lock of hair, as I mentioned, to create a link between the doll or whatever object you're using and the person that the hair came from, so that whatever okay. happens to the doll happens to the person. And that is,
right.
of course, imitation. Then correspondence is based on the idea that one can influence something based on its relationship or resemblance to another thing. Many popular beliefs regarding properties of plants, fruits, and vegetables have evolved in folk medicine and different societies owing to sympathetic magic. This includes the belief that, as I mentioned, certain herbs with yellow sap can cure jaundice, that walnuts could strengthen the brain because of the nut's resemblance to the brain, and that...
Interesting.
That is interesting. And that red beet juice is good for the blood, and that phallic-shaped roots will cure male impotence.
I love how, I just like wonder how somebody got there. There was like, you know what this looks like? It's probably good for that. Like,
yeah.
Sure.
What the?
Why not?
The brain thing is really weird to me.
Yeah, that one's great. I actually like the idea of carrots like curing like impotence though. Like that's kind of great.
Did you say that it does do that or you wish it did that?
I like the idea of that.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. Also, nearly everything is phallic-shaped. Nearly all vegetables.
Like, welcome to this planet. Everything's phallic. Have you ever walked past a high-rise? Anyway.
Everything. Anyway. So
everything's a penis.
Everything is a penis. And many traditional societies believed that an effect on one object could cause an analogous effect on another object without apparent cause or a link between the two objects. So okay. there are many, many folk tales that feature a villain whose life exists in another object and who can only truly be killed if that object is destroyed. So, to my point, this is Horcruxes, but also Sauron's One Ring in The Lord of the Rings. Like, Sauron cannot be destroyed unless the ring is destroyed. Side note, I found a ring of power under a booth at my work the other day. I was like,
what is a ring of power?
I was like, oh, someone like lost their wedding band. And I bent down and picked up this little gold ring. And I was like, oh, there's an inscription on the inside. And I like held it up to the light to read the inscription. And it's like the elvish inscription from the Lord of the Rings. It's like,
oh, so somebody just had a replica Lord of the Rings thing. Right. That's funny, though.
Right, right, right. I was really concerned someone lost their wedding ring and then breathed a sigh of relief. Anyway.
That person might have been pissed as hell. You don't know their life. That's they might have been more attached to fucking Lord of the Rings than a significant partner.
Or it could have been their wedding ring. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe their wedding ring was a ring of power.
Someone's is. You know someone's is.
Someone absolutely has a Lord of the Rings wedding band. Absolutely. There's not a doubt in my mind.
So that is like how correspondence magic works. Something that's linked to a person or a person's life force that they have a back and forth effect on each other. And that can be manipulated by the person who has the link or by some other magician, some naughty magician who's in charge of your Horcruxes.
Or your voodoo doll.
Or your voodoo doll. Many societies have also been documented as believing that instead of requiring an image of an individual, influence can be exerted using something that they have touched or used, and it doesn't have to be a piece of their body. So if you use like a scarf.
Oh, that's nice. I mean,
it is nice. I don't have to take like a chunk of you. Ma'am, could I please just remove your fingernail for some magic?
Ma'am, if I could just have a piece of your flesh.
Examples of this happening are in, bear with me on this pronunciation, but...
I always do.
In the 1970s, in a place called Tana Vanuatu, the people were very, very cautious about throwing away food or losing a fingernail or, like, cut hair because they believed that these small scraps of personal items could be used to cast spells causing fevers.
Oh, listen, I'm saying if somebody subscribed to this, and I'm not saying come after me, but if you want some of my hair, it's fucking everywhere. And also, just as a weird side note, this is going to make me sound like such a crazy person, but I'm really fine with it. I just have a lot of hair and I really shed like a dog. Like, I'm always pulling it out of my brush. I feel like I'm cleaning out of the drain in my shower. Like, every time I shower, I just shed a lot.
Me too. It's fine.
And I play with my hair a lot as like, I just, you know, it's a fidget. And I feel like I always have these moments when I'm in like an Uber or a Lyft that I'm like, you know, shedding hair. And then I'm like, you know what? Good though. Because if like something terrible happened, they'll know I was in this car. And then I'm always like, let me just leave a couple more. Let me just leave.
You're always like, know that if I ever got abducted, that I would rip out some of my hair and scratch the hell out of everything to leave all my DNA behind.
I mean, I stand by this. If I were ever abducted, like if I thought I was going to die, I would absolutely be like ripping my hair out and shoving it in seat cushions. I would want people to know where I had been. Like justice from beyond the grave. Like, nah, I'm serious about that shit,
justice,
motherfuckers.
Absolutely. Justice from beyond the grave. Also, preventing other people from being killed.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Okay, we can't get derailed on Austin's potential future murder. That won't happen.
You just know that my hair is everywhere, and if I've been in your car, I've probably left some of my hair as a safety precaution.
Yeah, so just know that and don't do anything weird, okay? Great.
Okay, yeah.
but the example from that place I struggled to pronounce reminded me of last Spooktober. We talked about my experience with the Navajo people where there was a like an 11-year-old who was like really afraid about a nosebleed that she got. I'm not going to rehash the story because you can go listen to it if you want. But there are beliefs in America also that pieces of your body or blood that leaves your body can be collected and manipulated by evil spirits or people with bad intentions.
Totally.
I don't love that. It would really stress me the fuck out to be on my period if I believed in that.
Yeah, if I had to burn, like, everywhere I've ever bled, I... Yeah. Ooh, no, thank you. Y'all.
No, thank you. Then the last example is in the 18th century, in Russian folk magic, they described how someone could be influenced through the sprinkling of cursed salt on a pathway frequently used by the victim. So if I, like, really wanted
cursed
to fuck you up,
salt.
I could, like, come to your house in the night, in the winters of Chicago, with some cursed salt that looks just like all the other salt on the street and the walks. And I would so gently salt your walks, and you would look out your window and say, "What a sweet friend salting my walk." But little do you know, salt is cursed. And then it would really fuck you up because you'd walk over it every day and it would have contact with you and it would be cursed and then you would be cursed.
Why the salt? Do you know, like, why specifically salt?
I have truly no idea why people... What the hell is up with salt, actually? Because people, like, throw it at weddings or something?
They throw rice at weddings, but people throw salt over their shoulder.
Yeah, people do something with salt over their shoulder that's superstitious. And then when I lived in California, one of my coworkers told me something about her mom was making a salt line around the property to be protective. I guess it like, I don't know. Salt has some magical shit going on. Maybe we don't know enough about crystals to understand.
Well, I don't know enough about all that, but I do. The superstition behind the salt over your shoulder is it's like if you accidentally spill some of the salt, then you're supposed to take some of it and throw it over your left shoulder, I think. And it's because, like, the devil's gonna, like, he's likely to attack you from, like, the rear and the left because that's, you know, the right side and the forward thing are, like, seem nicer. And that's why you throw the salt, like, is to, like, keep the devil away from you because you spilled the salt?
God. I thought it was gonna be some, like, biblical nonsense about, like, you know, when the woman turned around and turned into a pillar of salt because she looked behind her.
I know what you're talking about. I don't think it's tied to that, but maybe. I mean, pillars of salt. Again, with the salt. What is everybody in with the salt?
Yeah, so into the salts. Okay, so that is just like a little bit on maybe how magic works. That's not like the kind of magic that I personally believe in. But let's move into some Western occultism so we can talk about how these magics are being used and by what people.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I love the Western occult.
So, as I've said, magic with the same principles gets used all over the world by different cultures with their own specific flair, deities, histories, etc. But I think that discussing a little bit about what's called right and left hand path magic can aim us toward chaos magic. So, have you ever heard of right?
That's where I want to be. It's where I want to get to. Journeys lead to chaos magic. I'm climbing to chaos. Okay.
But have you ever heard of right and left hand path? Is that like a familiar phrase at all?
No.
Okay, so...
Had you heard of it before you dug in on this?
I did, but just because of... I feel like it maybe is mentioned in Eyes Wide Shut, but maybe I'm confusing that with another film. And then I also am an avid Last Podcast on the Left fan, and they did an episode about those magics. So I had heard of them before. So to really describe right hand, left hand... and chaos magic. I want to just briefly mention the Dungeons and Dragons alignments. You're familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, I'm sure.
Sure, a little casual D&D. Yeah.
I used to play. Some of my coworkers play now. If I had time, I would join them, but I don't. Anyway, when you have a character in Dungeons and Dragons, you, as part of creating your character, you choose what's called an alignment for them. The alignments that your character can have are defined by being good, evil, or neutral.
Okay.
And then you have another feature that's either lawful or chaotic. So it's about what your intention is, if you're like good, evil, or neutral. And then how you go about that is whether or not you're lawful or chaotic.
If you, like you, Jamie Ryan, the real person, were a D&D character, do you think you'd be lawful or chaotic?
I absolutely would be chaotic.
I think so, and I think I'd be lawful.
So do I. And this is like why in our friendship, you kind of like rein me back in so that we don't get arrested together, because I will always think that like the ends usually justify the means, even if we have to break a couple of rules to get there. And like, if my intention is good, then my means don't necessarily matter as much. Like, I'm not going to follow the rules just for the sake of following the rules.
Listen, I've been preventing your arrest since the year 2000.
This is true. Very much. Okay, so to apply these concepts to magic, anyone who calls themselves a magician or a witch or whatever,
sure,
or any of us, we all have these alignments. I think we probably shift between them some. I'm probably not always chaotic neutral. I like to think I'm usually chaotic good. But the right-hand path is essentially lawful good, or that's like how magicians in the right-hand path look at themselves. They adhere to a very strict code of conduct. It's all about orders. Everything is ritual-based, high levels of secrecy.
I like high levels of secrecy.
I mean, they are very, very tempting. High levels of secrecy, very tempting.
I just like to be a part of groups that like to operate under like a secret code. Like, that's very appealing to me.
We could start operating under a secret code.
Okay. Listen.
We'll figure it
out. I'm open to that. Okay.
We'll figure it out. You know what I'm tired of?
No, what?
Leftover dishes, cups, jars from college, from the years after when I was poorly thrifting everything. I feel like every time I open my cabinets, everything that I have is an accident. But as a young ingenue in the magical arts, I have learned that I need to channel my will and get what I really want out of life. And honestly, what I want is better pottery and to truly leave plastic behind.
Well, no BPAs. Let's get out of that.
I know. Don't get me started on the dangers and pitfalls of plastics. But for me, for my guests, for my storage and display of magical items, I need an upgrade.
I'm going to say in the nicest way, this is a you problem. Like, my cabinets are not full of plastic cups from college, but
fine.
Yes.
Some of us have established better cabinet items. It's fine. Okay.
It's fine. It's fine. Casual.
But my problems may be over because enter Rhino Ceramics, sponsor of this year's Spooktober.
Ooh, spooky.
Rhino Ceramics creates small batch functional pottery. The surface decoration, though, is where they really start to blossom, become truly one of a kind. The decoration on the pottery ranges from layers of glaze colors, textures, and carved designs to patterns inspired by prison tattoos.
Which I'm very into. And for the record, even though my shit's like not plastic crap from like Pizza X in Bloomington, Indiana,
this is not.
I can still always appreciate nice things. Like, I don't need an upgrade, but I like want.
You want them anyway.
Yeah, that's a thing.
And side note, I have a couple of the prison tattoo pieces, and they are,
of course you do,
incredible. I love them.
Yeah.
But every pot is different due to the maker's inability, nay, decision.
Okay, okay.
Not to put a lot of structure into her practice, and that's fine.
Why?
It's her prerogative.
Structure? That's not how we do the podcast. Nobody does structure. Come on.
Nobody. But act fast, because many designs may not stick around long. And as I've mentioned, they're probably not going to come back. Small batch is not an understatement, as she will rarely make more than 10 pots of the same form. You can check out Rhino Ceramics on Etsy or on Instagram at Rhino Ceramics. That's R-H-E-I-N-O Ceramics. And right now, you can receive 20% off your order by using the offer code WHYAREYOULIKETHIS at checkout. Again,
oh, SpawnCon.
I know. I'm excited. It's fine. Again, the offer code is Why Are You Like This? All caps, no spaces, to receive 20% off your order of beautiful handmade pottery for your magical everyday or everyday magical needs. Offer and shipping only valid in the U.S. So right-hand pathers, they adhere to a specific moral code and belief in some form of judgment, such as karma or the law of threefold. So these guys are really worried about, like, not, like, putting evil out into the universe, or, like, it's going to come back at them. Yeah, it's
nice. I feel like I could be a part of this community.
It's right-hand path is also called white magic. So, like, if there's, like, white magic and black magic, not to, you know...
I mean, I think we've all heard of black magic. I didn't know there was something we called white magic. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, Gandalf the white wizard or whatever. Oh, no, he's gray.
Sure. Okay, two sides of the same coin.
Yes. But you can also look at certain religions as being right-hand path magic. So when we talk about chaos magic, we'll probably touch on this again. But the occultist Dion Fortune and William G. Gray consider non-magical Abrahamic religions to be right-hand path. So Abrahamic meaning like Judaism, Christianity, and I believe Islam?
Okay.
I will double check that one. But essentially meaning like, so Christianity or Catholicism, for example, can be right-hand path magic because it's a series of rituals and beliefs that those people who are performing it believe are affecting change both in themselves and throughout mm-hmm. the world. But okay. it's all done through a very strict, like, moral code and, like, there's...
You gotta follow procedure.
It's procedural. Thank you. It's very procedural. A lot of people okay, also...
That's all right.
It is all right. And a lot of people think that, like, the Freemasons are right-hand path magicians, but we can't know.
Oh, the Freemasons. Mm.
If you want to do some of your own dives on right-hand path magic, I would recommend starting with reading about the Order of the Golden Dawn, which is a Western magic group that created basically what I'm describing. It's a series of rules about magic and a hierarchy with different degrees and magicians all over the world who are helping each other to learn and perform these rituals and visit the silent gates of memory in their mind, literally. So it's an interesting read. The Order of the Golden Dawn. But
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I can't go there tonight because we could do a full podcast series on the Order
because
of the Golden
Dawn. Because this is about like doing an episode on science. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, we told you at the top.
We told you it was very, very loose. So left-hand path magic. Or like black magic or darker
okay.
magic.
Voodoo, right? I don't know.
In the well, voodoo could really be either, I think, depending on who and how it's being practiced.
Okay.
But I don't know enough about true voodoo, only the version I've been fed in America, so I can't answer that.
You know what? That's a really important distinction.
Thank you. So just as the right-hand path was lawful good in the D&D universe, left-hand path is going to be lawful evil. So they're both adhering to like some kind of code, hierarchy, structure, and okay. organization that tells them what is and isn't like the right way to do a ritual or...
Okay.
Yeah, the correct ceremonial robing to wear, you know?
Yeah.
So the left-hand path. The historian Dave Evans studied self-professed followers of the left-hand path in the early 21st century, and he made several observations about their practices. He found that they often reject societal convention and the status quo, which some suggest...
I would have assumed.
Absolutely. Some suggest is in a search for spiritual freedom. As a part okay. of this, left-hand path followers embrace magical techniques that would traditionally, or in the right-hand path, be viewed as taboo. For instance, using sex magic or embracing satanic imagery. So sex magic is a big part of left-hand path stuff.
Yeah, what is sex magic?
Sex magic is kind of centered around the idea that anything that is like a heightened experience where like the energy level comes up or especially like comes to a peak can be magical. So for that reason, oh. like fire can be magical or combustion. Mm-hmm. And so like a sex act for that reason is also magical because you're essentially and this is very, very much like I am not an expert, but the way that I understand it is you focus your intention around whatever you want to get out of the sex ritual. So if I was doing one, I would say, okay, my will is that I will come across $50,000. That you shouldn't do it about money.
I was like, you mean that you would come? Like, I'm like, this is like... You're, like, setting intentions for things, like, outside of what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So your intentions when you use sex magic are not about sex at all. So the sex is kind of...
Oh, my God, this is great. I want to make more wishes when I bone. Okay.
No, seriously. So, like, the whole time you're having sex, like, as... Sorry to be graphic, but, like, as you're, like, building towards your finish...
Yeah.
Just
That was like the least graphic thing you could have said. Carry on.
I know. It just felt, it felt weird. create a state of very clear intention in your mind and like chant it to yourself over and over and try to channel the energy of that will into your body and feel like that, like orgasm is building. And then like, when you come, like, be sure to like think, like state your like will of intent like many times. And that is a version of what's called firing a sigil. Which talk about later, because I did that in a different way. I didn't do a sex magic ritual, but I did do some sigil magic.
I'm so pissed that you weren't going to tell us a sex magic ritual. I like want to have a sex magic ritual and report back. Like,
I think we both should. I think we
should absolutely do this. Okay.
But there are a lot of warnings about, and again, I'm just going to give a lot of warnings. Sex magic is supposedly like a very powerful version of magic. Because
I would hope.
Yeah, it's like life and death, and like your body is like having a release, and it's like chemical and emotional, and it's a big energy release. Like, that's a firework. So like, be careful with where you throw that firework is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just be careful. Okay, so continuing with the left-hand path, they also embrace satanic imagery. So there are a lot of satanic left-hand path magic people, and the idea really is to kind of like go against the status quo and like break your brain into like seeing the magical possibilities of the world. So left-hand pathers are often like Satanists and like anarchists, who we've talked about, they are contrarian on purpose, and that is part of like their value.
Okay. That sounds like a little anarchist.
It is. It's truly very anarchist, but it's also very structured in the left-hand path still. So anarchist in that it like rebels against what's perceived as like good or normal.
Or like the norm, yeah.
Yeah, it's perverse on purpose.
Okay. But like still has rules.
Lots of rules. And punishments and orders to climb, and just people coming all over each other trying to get magic shit to happen. It's, yeah.
I'm strangely open to that. Okay.
I am strangely open to that, too. If you want to do a dive on people who just, like, love to guzzle cum in the name of magic, dig into Aleister Crowley and Thelema, which is a version of magic that he created, wrote a book about it. He did a lot of crazy shit in Egypt in a hotel room that I will let you find out about on your own. Yeah, so that's a fun dive. Tantric magic.
So you're saying this isn't a sex episode? This isn't a sex episode?
It's
this
not,
episode
even though I managed to say building to an orgasm, this is not a sex episode. It is not.
All right, fine. God damn it.
Okay, so that is right-hand and left-hand path. It's essentially like people who call themselves good guys and bad guys, and they're all practicing magic, essentially.
Do the bad guys call themselves bad guys?
They would call them, I think, more prefer kind of like free thinker, contrarian. Like they to be the bad character if this were a video game.
Yeah, like if given the choice between Aladdin and Jafar, they'd be Jafar. Okay.
And the left-hand path is much more focused on material gain. And I should have made this distinction earlier, but the right-hand path is kind of all about like meditation and like the work that you do in your mind and kind of escaping to a higher plane, noticing synchronicities in the universe, the world around you. And it's really about, it focuses on like the spirit and a higher plane and your mind, whereas the left-hand path is more about like self-fulfillment and getting what you want and like manipulating the world around you with these magical abilities for money, power, sex, like whatever it is that you would prefer.
Sure.
Yeah.
You did say you shouldn't do like sex magic for money. Do both of these camps have feelings about manifesting or not manifesting dollars?
So the thing about trying to manifest money is, do you remember the episode of The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror, shout out.
Shout out.
Where they found a monkey's paw.
Yes.
So when they made their wishes on the monkey's paw, they wished like for money or whatever. But then the monkey's paw or the universe or whoever made that wish come true kind of like played a cruel joke on them and like fulfilled their wish, but like made everything else really shitty. Do you recall that?
Okay.
It's like if I wished for $1 million and then like I walked outside and got hit by a car and got $1 million in a lawsuit. Like that is a situation where like my statement,
and then you were like paralyzed but had $1 million.
Yes, exactly. Then what happens is like my statement of intent wasn't clear enough. If I just said like my will is that I will come across $1 million, that I didn't make any specifications about how that would come to be. And that's like a
right,
having too broad of a statement of intent means that like your will is not focused and you're just kind of like just like shooting a big lumpy gel out into the universe that might not be what you want, you know?
Boy, so, I love that lumpy gel.
That lumpy, lumpy gel. When what you want is a pointed arrow pursuing your desires. But the reason
again,
I
with
say,
the phallic, everything's a penis. Okay.
With sex magic and also with blood magic, which we talked about during the blood episode last year.
Sure.
You just want to be especially, especially careful because blood and sex and anything, or like if you could kill someone theoretically to finish a ritual, because that would be like a giant energy release.
Whoa.
But all of these things, like the bigger the energy release, just the more careful you should be, because like I'm not saying that magic is real and I really don't know, jury's out, but like I just wouldn't want to fuck with that level of anything that maybe was just like powerful and like affecting change, but I wasn't totally sure what was going to happen from it.
I mean, I think that's real. I think it's scary to fuck with big responsibilities if you don't totally understand them, whether or not you think they're legit.
Absolutely. It's absolutely that. It's just, it's too big of a tool. Like sex and blood and death are too big of guns for magic for us all to use. I
feel that.
Yeah. Maybe not sex. I'll dabble in that magic. Anyway.
I'm open to the sex magic. Okay.
Let us move on to my most favorite kind of magic, what I practice in my mind most days. Chaos.
Okay, this is, you're more excited. Oh, it's chaos magic. Okay, I'm sorry. I was like, what are we more excited about than sex magic? Obviously,
no, it
chaos
is chaos magic. It is chaos magic. So yeah, in the world of D&D, chaos magic is chaotic neutral. It's not good. It's not bad. It's chaotic. Some people may be using chaos magic for good, sometimes for evil, sometimes to get what you want, sometimes to help someone else. And you can truly use any methods that you want. Chaos magic is like the Unitarian Church of Magic. You feel me?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I do feel you. Yeah.
It truly is. It like you're allowed to use and encouraged to use any system of belief that fits your needs in the moment.
Okay.
Okay, so what is, though, chaos magic? It's essentially...
I like how open-ended it is. I'll start with that.
It is very open-ended, and it's... Chaos magic is almost like taking the putty of the universe into your own hands and just knowing that you can manipulate it. So it's kind of like the secret, or like manifesting is a version of chaos magic. So
Right.
Essentially putting yourself in a reality where... If you want a promotion, or if you, I don't know, if you want, you really want to be on Broadway, that's your dream.
Okay.
If you're into chaos magic, what you should do is like channel that intent, think about it every day. But you can't just be like sitting at home or like working an office job. You have to be proactive. You have to go to New York. You have to take lessons. You have to audition for stuff. So chaos magic is like The Secret in that you have to keep like focused and keep like your mind on something and like know, deeply know that it will come true. But you also have
to... And not in a sitting on the couch kind of way.
No, it's very proactive. Like, you have to be doing it, which... And honestly, the beauty of chaos magic is at the end of the day, it's kind of like... Does it even exist, or did it just motivate you enough to change your circumstance? Which, either way, it's fine.
Listen, is it real? Is it placebo? I don't care as long as it works.
I don't care. So in chaos magic, you can use any system of belief to accommodate your needs in the moment, and then you just move on. You don't actually adhere ever to any one belief system. You just use them temporarily. So like, picture that your life is a video game, and you can change out the character that you're playing at any time.
Sure.
And so like, the characters you can choose from are every single god or goddess or dead person that you know or popular figure, mythological creature, whatever that has ever existed or had like some level of cult following. Like, you can summon anything, anybody. If you're, I don't know, if you want to cleanse your house because you think that there is an evil spirit in there, you could start to convince yourself that day that you fully believe in the exorcism principles of the Roman Catholic Church. And you could really like get into it, and it would help if you invited a couple people over who are diehard Catholics who believe in exorcism, because their belief and energy would like contribute to you removing that negativity from your house if that was your intention. So
I'm just going to go ahead and use this platform right now, though, to say, if you really believe in exorcism, I don't want to be left alone in my home with you.
This example could lead in perhaps some sort of double triple homicide, but for the sake of explaining this, it does work. So you want to get rid of this negative presence. You're like, you know what? A Catholic exorcism is the ritual that I'm going to use. So you get your head right. You full-heartedly believe it. You invite over a couple people who super believe it, and you execute this ritual. And the power of your belief that that will work based on the Roman Catholic belief system in chaos magic would say, like, could be enough to actually execute your will. So it doesn't matter if Catholicism is true. What matters is that you have tricked your brain and the three brains of those people that are there with you into this like ideology where it will work, and that it's actually the power of your mind pushing out into the universe that affects the change. So adopting the belief is just like a tool for you to trick yourself, essentially.
And I mean, do they really say trick, though? Is this really like, oh, it's a trick, or just like you're just using a tool?
It's a tool, but you have to put out of your mind any doubt that that like, how could I possibly believe without any doubt tomorrow that Catholicism was true? How could I possibly do that? So I think I would have to really psych myself up and kind of like dig in and get there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But you could also, you could summon something else. You could say, I think that, I don't know, fucking Athena would be the best person for this job. And then you can summon Athena. But yeah, just depends on what your preference is. What can you believe in the moment? What system of belief will do the best job for the ritual that you need? So you're always just trying to find the best candidate.
Okay. So like, I mean, What kind of candidate would you really pull into practice?
Who would I pull in? So I've never done any kind of summoning, which is like a version of magic you can do.
Sure.
In chaos magic, like, you can do summoning and sigil magic, and then you can honestly do any fucking ritual that you can think of and come up with and believe in enough to perform. Like, you can do anything.
Right.
But if I were to summon someone, what would that be for? I think I would, you know, I've been really struggling to not be like just like a giant asshole at work. So I'd like to summon, who would help me not be? I should summon maybe like the
Mother
Hulk.
Mother Teresa?
Or Mother Teresa, excuse me.
The Hulk.
I just feel like the Hulk's been through it.
I love how you were like the Hulk and I was like Mother Teresa.
But the Hulk would help me. He would understand. He would know what
I
it
love
feels
that
like
you went Marvel
out.
Universe, and I was like, who's someone who's like really kind to people? We nailed it.
So I'm summoning Bruce Banner, I guess, and he will be with me throughout my shift at work and just remind me to be a kind person. and I could summon him that way. Or, I don't know, summoning is weird. Summoning, I don't really believe in. I don't know, just not here for it.
You don't have to.
It's fine. Okay, other people really love to summon. Like, I worked with a girl who was, like, very into magic, and she and her boyfriend would, like, summon Isis, I can't believe I said Isis. I was thinking of Pisces.
First of all, I can't believe you said Isis, and second of all, who's summoning Isis? Like, what?
Yeah, like, they summoned Isis and Horus for, like, different things for, like, their business. I don't know. I don't know about the success rate on those practices, but people love to summon the Egyptian gods. That's a popular one.
Phew.
Phew. Who would you summon?
Who would I summon? I don't know. Like, in actuality, probably just, like, deceased family members.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would want to do that, too, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I still talk to some folks who aren't around sometimes.
Yeah.
Who's to know, you know?
You know what? I actually don't really do that very much. But I would like to. Okay, filing that away on my to-do list. Speak to the dead. All right.
Why not?
So to ground this a little bit in a better real-life example, I would like to share my attempt at sigil magic via chaos magic principles.
Yeah, tell me everything I need to know.
So do not attempt this. Do not do what I did. But walking you through the stages of charging my sigil, I think might explain how this stuff like works in practice a little bit better.
What were you attempting to make happen?
I was just like wanting to do a ritual. And so I was like, okay, like what's a thing that I want right now? And this was a year ago and it was a Friday and I was going into work later that evening. I had kind of all day to do this. And I was like, you know what? I'd really like to make $400 tonight. I bet I can like do this ritual and then like make that happen. And just statistically,
make the tips happen.
Yeah. Statistically at the time, like the kind of business we were doing, like I hadn't ever been making $400. Like it was
in a night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that would be really remarkable if it happened. So I was like, okay, that's something that I like, I can measure it. Like I can track that as like an outcome that did or did not happen. It's very specific.
Okay.
So
all right.
I first created a statement of intent. My statement of intent was, my workplace will be busy this evening, resulting in over $400 for me. Because I couldn't just say, I will get $400 tonight, because then that, we talked about.
Then we get hit by a bus. Then
it could
go back
anything.
To that whole issue.
Exactly. Right. I filled several notebook pages with my statement of intent. So I just wrote it over and over and over again, really got it in my head, wrote it down. It's all about focusing your energy. So however much energy you're like channeling towards your statement of intent is kind of like charging up this ritual. Like you're charging.
Okay, so far I feel good about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel good. So then, and this
you're
is
like, yes, yes.
Then, and I read on various places on the internet that this is what I did, like, are various methods that I had come across from reading about rituals other people had done and from reading about just, like, ritual chaos magic online. It's too much to explain. But from my statement of intent, I removed all of the vowels. So I created a consonants-only statement of intent.
Oh, okay. This is where we get a little incantation-y, if I do say so myself.
I then created a chant from the vowel-less statement of intent, and I murmured it over and over to myself throughout the day.
Oh my god, did you feel like a witch doctor?
I did. I, like, spooked myself a couple times, and I was like, is this... It was like the Christian upbringing, like, fear God in me. I was like, is this okay that I'm doing this?
Is it okay that I'm chanting a spell I just wrote?
And it's like for me to make money, which like in the charmed universe, like you can't use your own magic for personal gain or else you have like horrible consequences. So like that's in my
head.
That's
true. That's written into a lot of fantasy stories, be them movies, literature, but any kind of fiction, just so that you can explain the universe, because if your characters could just have unlimited means, you'd be like, yeah, well, duh, they're fine.
You're right. It is just to put boundaries around the characters.
Yeah, they have to put that in fiction so that you don't have a plot hole, like, perpetually.
Yeah, you can't be struggling for money. Anyway, so after I made the chant, which I was murmuring, so that's one aspect of this ritual that I'm doing. I then took my vowel-less statement of intent, and I assigned each consonant a numerical value based on the numerological alphabet. So digits 1 through 9 applying to the letters. So like A is 1, B is 2, C is 3. Then when you get to 9, you start over.
Yep, got it.
I then condensed the number that I got after adding them up into a single digit, which you do in numerology.
Yep, sure.
I had 210, which condensed to the number 3.
3. Yeah.
I then created...
What a powerful number. Holy Trinity. Things are happening live. The strongest shape. Anyway.
I then created a symbol using the number 3 and the number 4 laid over top of it, and then encircled it with 2 zeros. So essentially like 3, which is my statement of intent.
Oh, and then $400.
And then $400 going around it. Yeah. But it just looked like a symbol. I then covered several pages of the notebook I was working in this doodle, and I chanted the vowel-less statement of intent as I doodled. So I'm doing my murmurs, and I'm doodling my symbol over and over, and I'm just...
I love this!
And I'm just thinking about what's going to happen tonight, and how I'm going to make money, and how I'm going to be so confident that I'm going to make that money, and... I did this for the whole day. So,
oh my God.
3 o'clock. I got to go to work at 4. 3 o'clock hits. And I'm like, okay, I've been fucking charging this shit up all day. I've got like, you know, in Super Smash Brothers, how Samus has like that gun and you can like charge the bullet till it's like all the way huge.
Do I know in Super Smash what kind of gun Samus has? Yeah, he's my favorite character to play. Totally.
That is a great analogy for sigil magic. So you're charging your sigil. You're like putting all the power and the energy into it and like focusing your will and like doing the chants or the murmurs or the doodling or whatever you're doing to like charge up this statement of intent. So
totally. And if you're not familiar with Smash Brothers and Samus, all you need to know is that he has this like lasery gun.
It's a woman.
And that... You're right, it is a woman. There's a helmet, people.
There is.
She has a gun. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to... Whatever. She has a gun. She's very fly. And if you, like, hold a button, because I'm making this a video game, because it is, like, the longer you hold it, the larger and more powerful the ammo gets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can release and shoot it at any stage in that. But there is, like, a get it as big as you can kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
So this is, like, fucking charging up.
Exactly. So then there are several ways that you can fire your sigil. So remember we talked about before that sex and fire and death or any kind of like release of blood are all magically charged. So those are some methods for firing a sigil. I've also heard that you can fart onto it or you can cough onto it. Yeah.
God, but, I would rather cough. Okay.
But those are probably have less explosive value to them than like sex or fire, you know?
I mean, I would think, but I guess it depends on who you ask.
The time came to fire my sigil and I was like, all right, how am I going to do that? What even? I don't have like a physical anything that I would call a sigil. And so I was like, oh, I have to take all these pieces from my notebook and like fold them together into a shape that resembles the symbol that I made, and then I will burn that. So
okay, that feels great.
Just to like fold in one more layer of this statement of intent being kind of charged up and existing. But I had also read that to give a sigil like extra power, you can involve blood or perhaps menstrual blood. And I was on my period.
Oh, so. My God. Yes, queen.
So I made my little origami sigil. Looked like a little teepee. And went to the bathroom and applied some menstrual blood to it.
Because why not? Listen, if you're going for it, I say go for it.
So then I took my sigil outside onto the side patio and I set it down. And I started murmuring again and murmuring, and then I lit it on fire.
I hope to God someone saw you.
I hope so too, but I don't know. And then, yeah, I burned my sigil, and that was like the release. That's like the firing of Samus's gun, if you will. That I had been like focusing on and charging up all day, and then like there's like a big release. So this is why sex works for this shit too, because it's you're charging it, and then there's like an explosion or a release.
Sure, 100%. I'm on board.
So then you have to completely forget that you did the ritual.
I think if anything, you just gave like an ad read for, you know, having sex on your period.
You know what? Everybody should be having sex on their period. I'm not going to really get derailed on this, but just do it. It helps with cramps if you're feeling up to it. I know sometimes you're not feeling up to it, but helps with cramps.
I'm just saying it people sounds more powerful chill. If you're trying to, you know, release an incantation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, period sex, I would think, would be just wildly powerful.
That's absolutely why I said that. Absolutely. That's what I'm rooting for. That's why you're rooting for period sex, because, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there was that thing we learned last year during Blood Magic about something about, like, tiger's milk being, I can't remember what it was called, something like that, being, like, semen mixed with menstrual blood. So people are doing it. Oh, yeah,
that was very weird. People drink that. Listen.
Yeah, people are doing it. So I put this ritual out of my mind, because with chaos magic, after you perform a ritual that has like some intention, you have to forget about it, because you don't want to accidentally have confirmation bias where you're just seeing the results that you want. So you have to really try. Okay. To not think about it. So I brushed it off and I went to work. And I will tell you, that is the hardest shift I have ever worked in my entire life.
Really?
There's no reason, like weather or event wise, why we should have been as busy as we were.
Oh my God, stop.
But we were like on an insane wait. And then like the restaurant fully emptied out. And then we went back on a wait like at 7 o'clock, which was just like a weird maneuver that like you don't usually see. And of course, like it was great that we were busy. I did make over $400, which had never happened
before. No, you didn't. Which is
truly incredible.
This is not real.
This is real, but so much shit went wrong.
Why did you not tell me about this when this happened?
I feel like
why
would you? I mean, I don't know. I feel like I did.
I'd remember if you told me that you like made a chant and then like an origami like I did offering not tell you about that. You put your menstrual blood on and lit it on fire and then made $400 in an evening. I feel like I would have recalled this.
I felt so embarrassed about it because I was prepping this episode for Spooktober last year. And so like at this time last year, I did this ritual when I was like trying to like learn and understand what chaos magic was. And then after I did the ritual, I like felt very ashamed. I was like, this is too weird. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone that I did this.
And yet now the time has passed and you're like, you know what? I'm here to tell people that I did it. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. I did it. I put my period blood on there. God.
And then I lit it on fire and made money. This is crazy, Jamie. Oh, my God. It's really
crazy. But, like,
I'm obsessed. I'm like, I want to do weird things.
Do weird things, but, like, do something really safe like that where, like, your statement of intent is pretty tight. Like, even still, like, it was a really hard night. Like, I cried at one point. Like, it was a very, very difficult shift.
Just because it was, like, so, like...
We were too busy.
Strenuous and stressful and crazy.
We were just, like, too busy for, like, the staff that we had, for the restaurant size that we are, for the ovens that we have. And so, like, anything that went wrong caused, like, an enormous issue because there were just, like, so many people and, like... so much going on.
So on some level, like, your intent was like very specific, but like you were like to make that much money, it was like you still had to experience something fucking nuts for a shift.
Thank you for saying that, because like that is kind of the point that I'm trying to make behind like saying be cautious when you do these hopefully very low stakes rituals, because like
Because you might cry at your job.
You might cry at your job. You'll still have to do the hard part. Like, wishing for, like, success at your job, like, via chaos magic doesn't mean that you won't have to work for it. Like, chaos magic, like, the whole idea is that you have to be super proactive about it. And even if you channel your will into the universe, you don't know all the kind of side ripple effects that will happen, and some of those effects may be negative for you, and you just have to accept that because the universe is chaotic.
Well, no, that makes perfect sense. And it's like, you did this whole little ritual, all the things, and it wasn't like you got $400 because, like, you made, you know, about three, and then somebody left you like an absurd tip.
No,
you know?
I busted my ass for every dollar. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, very different, very different experience. Anyway, so that was my dabbling in chaos magic. And I will tell you that since then, I have learned some more. I have not done any more rituals.
I was going to ask you, have you done more? Why wouldn't you do more when you were like feeling a little strapped for cash?
I know. I got a little like just like weirdly scared of it. The next morning when I went into work after that shift, I told my boss that I had done a magic ritual, because she's like a person who kind of like believes in things, so
sure.
So I told her, I was like, so last night before work I like spent the whole day doing this chaos magic ritual to make us be busy. And she like looked at me and she was like, never ever do that again.
Oh my god.
And then like 6 months later we were just like folding towels or something and it was quiet, and she was like, remember that time you cast a spell and we had like the worst night ever? And I was like, yeah, I do, but I made $400.
Yeah, that the thing is, I was like, she didn't make $400. So.
No, she made the same amount of money she always makes.
Hashtag salaried. Anyway.
Anyway. So yeah, I have not been performing any more rituals. I think that I maybe would like to, but I think that I would like to use chaos magic more in kind of like a self-help way. And if you're interested in that, there's definitely a corner of the internet that can guide you there, because chaos magic can be very sort of self-helpy, because it's all about like opening your mind, getting rid of like old useless ideologies that maybe prevent you from being like truly free thinking, or from like being totally who you are or who you could be. So I think that...
Listen, I know you're, like, trying to tell people not to do this, but all I'm thinking about right now are things that I, like, want to wipe menstrual blood on. Like,
I know. Let's do chaos magic together. We have to be careful, but let's do it.
Okay, I'm kind of really here for this. Okay.
So one way that we could, and this is something that I haven't started yet, but I was reading about, is a lot of people suggest keeping a magical diary. So that's just kind of, like, throughout your day... keeping your mind like magically engaged. So you're going to keep your eye out for coincidences. This is how like I'm always pointing out like numerical things that we come across.
Sure, you do look for them.
I do. I'm looking for them.
I look for broken streetlights. They're for me.
Yeah. So you would perhaps start writing down the times that you saw broken streetlights, and maybe like if you felt like something was starting to happen when you saw them, any kind of coincidence like that, you start to record. And then you can also start like creating statements of intent in your magical journal that maybe you don't do a full ritual for, but you just have little intentions that you're trying to focus and channel throughout the day that have like tangible results. So if I said this evening when I go to work, I'm going to have like a meaningful conversation with my coworker Karen, and she will have a better day. That's like a very real thing that I could intend to do. That's like totally non-magical, but
that's so nice. I love that sentiment.
Thank you, and hi Karen. But if I recorded that in my magical diary and then recorded like the outcome of that as well, like did I follow through that? Yes. Had a nice conversation with Karen, asked her about whatever. Turned out she did need to talk about something. Did she feel better? Yes. So that's like a very quantitative thing that like I intended, I set out to do, and then fulfilled. So honestly, a lot of chaos magic is like goal setting. Swear to God.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And I think you hear anybody talk about chaos magic, and it really is about like setting goals and then like taking some semblance of action that will help manifest it.
Like, absolutely. It's like, yeah.
You have to do shit, you know.
And I think that the reason that I believe in it, and maybe you can tell me your vibes on this, is I think like the way that I think about the universe is kind of like, okay, so matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. And everything mm-hmm. like can be broken down into these tiny particles, and like everything has energy. Like it, like I have energy. It's like in this room. And like if I wanted to affect some kind of change, I kind of right. think about like my will, like when I was doing the ritual, or if I'm like trying to focus my will in like a smaller way, I think about it kind of like a wave coming out of my brain. And that wave interacts with the other energies like that it bumps into as it leaves my mind. And similar to like if you were to run your hand through water, like there mm-hmm. are these ripples that go out and affect way more water than you actually touched.
And sure.
So that's like why I, or that's like how I think of chaos magic, is kind of like a focused butterfly effect that maybe, okay. yeah, maybe I can kind of push and pull like the energies of the universe, like with a little bit of intention. But I have to be aware that because the universe is chaotic, that like every action has like equal and opposite reaction, but that I also can't predict what's going to happen. So you got to be ready for truly anything.
Wow. I don't know. I'm ready to make $400. Shoot.
I know. What kind of ritual are you going to do? I would love to help you.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to manifest right now.
I don't know. A new coat? I'm thinking too material.
You are thinking too material. I don't know. I would like to like manifest some romance, but you just have to be careful. I feel like you have to be more careful with that than you do with money.
Actually, that's a really, really good point. I think you probably do have to be more careful.
Steer clear of the love potions, folks.
I don't know. Or people, like, fertility shit is weird too, though. You're making a person.
Oh.
That's high stakes as well. Maybe we should all just be wishing for money and leaving it at that.
Like, I honestly think money seems lower stakes the more and more we think about stuff.
Actually, yes, it is indeed. But, like, plant growth? Okay, that's a good one. Maybe we should do some, like, little test magic on, like...
I would do some magic about my plants growing more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, more on that later.
I actually would love to do some chaos magic for my freaking my red conga, because some of her leaves are a little brown, rosy.
Yeah. Yeah. Make up some kind of a ritual. Maybe we can even figure out how to make like a tonic that we charge up with intention. I don't know. We'll look into it.
We'll look into it.
But so that's what I've got on magic. It is truly just a tiny little sprinkling of what's out there. But that's the kind of magic that I'm interested, that I'm obviously quietly doing by myself.
Not so quietly anymore. Okay.
Not so quietly. A little embarrassed. I don't know.
Don't be embarrassed. What
questions about chaos magic? Because it's like I feel like I understand it, but it's really hard to explain. Because I feel like the more you read about it, the more clear it becomes.
I don't have questions. I'm just ready to get out my notebook and start chanting.
Okay, great. Yeah, get out your notebook, start chanting, start believing in anything temporarily, just to get yourself psyched.
I believe in a lot of stuff with temporariness.
Yeah. Well, and even, like, I feel like the way that you treat tarot cards and kind of, like, the way that I would treat them if I were using them is similar to chaos magic. Like, I don't think that you really believe, and I could be wrong here, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I don't think you truly believe that, like, the tarot deck is predicting your life. Like, it's more of a system that you use as a tool.
Somewhere in, it depends on the day.
Okay. In between. I feel you.
It depends on who's reading the cards.
Oh,
if
well,
I'm
that's
reading them
true.
For myself, yeah, it's a tool.
Yeah.
But if somebody else is reading for me, although sometimes weird things happen. Like, I had several weeks ago, but I had just pulled like a card for myself because I just wanted to pull a card. Mm-hmm. And then it was like really clarifying and like really like a real win. I don't know. It was just like, it was a great card to pull. It felt great. I was like, yes.
Aww.
And then the next day I thought yesterday that was so refreshing, and I was like, I want to pull a card again today because I just like hadn't been pulling a bunch.
Card of the day.
And then I shuffled the deck like a million times or whatever, and then I pulled a card and it was the same fucking card.
You have to write that in your magical diary.
Well, I do keep a tarot journal. Like, every time I pull cards for myself, I, like, draw them and write about it.
Oh. Do you write about how you feel that they're related to your life, or you just, like, mark down what they are?
Kind of loosely. I think about it more, but I will kind of, like, jot down, like, anything, like, what I think it's really saying, even, like, outside of the context of maybe what words or things are associated with the card. But, you know, I have a journal that's been going since 2014.
Oh, I'm sure that has lots of
power. It's a well-filled-out moleskin, okay?
Well, we should both get some moleskins to start our chaos magic journey. And maybe we both should start with plants just to hone our skills a little bit, test ourselves, goal set, track
our
progress.
I'm ready to grow some plants with chaos magic. That sounds like a good exercise.
It does, we'll and I would encourage listeners to do the same. It seems like a really safe way to try it out.
Yeah, grow your house plants.
Grow your house plants. All right, well, in true Why Are You Like This fashion, it's probably time to wrap with a verbal game.
Oh, for sure it is. Cue the fucking vibraphone.
Cue it. Okay, so on tonight's verbal game, I'm going to be giving you a couple questions here. So I'm going to start with a would you rather. Okay. So first off, in the vein of magic, would you rather be a blood supplier to someone who is performing dark rituals that you know nothing about, and this is for your whole life, both of these situations are permanent. So you're going to be the permanent blood supplier for, like, some dark magician. You don't know what the fuck he's doing with it.
Okay.
Or your other choice is, for your whole life, you'll be tied to a good magician who is performing not even things for personal gain, just to promote good in the world.
Okay.
But your job with him is that you are a sort of surrogate sexual sigil. So every time he does a ritual and he wants to fire a sigil, the sigil that fires is wherever you are, you have an orgasm. Anywhere that you are.
Oh my God. Wherever I am.
These are your choices.
Oh, number two for sure. I'm having orgasms. Are you kidding? Like, this feels amazing and so fun. And I think you'd get at work.
Truly anytime.
I know.
At the
I
mall.
Think I'd get good at I think I'd get good at socially hiding it.
You'd be amazing at hiding it, yeah.
But like, I think it would be fun and amazing, and I'm like so here for it. Like, and if anything, I'm like, can we make that happen? Can I just have uncontrollable orgasms at random? Like,
I'm kind of seeing the beauty in it too, because it's like every time that would happen to you, then you would know that like some kind of like good positive thing was like happening in the universe.
Right. It's very like It's a Wonderful Life. Like, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. I'm like, every time I have an orgasm, something nice happens to another person after something nice happened to me.
Like produces like, remember?
That's right. Listen, brains and walnuts, my orgasms and positivity for the world.
Just try to channel positivity for the world every time you come in your real life, though. Let's all do that.
Maybe I'm just going to start like wishing for world peace and a new president every time I have an orgasm. I don't know.
Please do that, but be specific that it's a non-evil president.
Yeah. I don't know if I can fuck with that shit. That seems... maybe that's what happened. Maybe there was some fucking woo-woo magic. I don't know.
Well, he is, like, seriously, Donald Trump is, like, a crazy, like, chaos magician. Like, he gaslit everyone into a reality where he's president. And now we all live there with him. It's crazy.
He is a magician. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's crazy. Anyway, I don't want this line
to get
flagged.
Would you do the same thing?
I would absolutely do the same thing. I cannot give my bloods to any dark magicians. I would be just wrecked about that. But in the every time a bell rings kind of way, I think this is great.
I love this.
I thought it was embarrassing, but now you've reframed it for me, and I'm here for it.
You were like, this would be so difficult to manage. And I was like, sounds like an amazing life I'd like to be a part of.
I'd want there to be a show about you. Ooh, I like that as a show idea. Anyway.
Can you imagine the confessionals that they'd be like interviewing me and my like good spirited magician separately? And I'd be like, yeah, I just like come uncontrollably. It's crazy. Like,
but you are not in a relationship with this magician, just to clarify.
No. I was worried. I thought you were going to say that I had to have sex with him. And I was like, is this my partner? What is this? And then you were like, you just have an orgasm anywhere. And I was like, sold.
Yeah, I don't think you guys don't have to ever make physical contact. Maybe like one time.
We don't even ever meet.
You might not even ever meet.
And maybe I'm like a woman who appears on a television show that's like, listen, I can't explain it, but sometimes I have an orgasm. And then I turn on the news and something miraculous has happened.
Yeah. Oh. I would love that. Okay. I have one more, it's sort of a two-part question for you to conclude.
I love a two-parter.
Our magical evening. So if you had a voodoo doll of me, what would you do with it?
Oh. Oh, like keep it safe. Oh, like,
yeah.
I think I'd put it in a place of honor in my home, especially if it like really had a little bit of your likeness. The room I affectionately call the third room, which is where I am right now and where I record the podcast. I have a stuffed Gonzo a la Muppet Fame from my childhood. Mm-hmm. It's like my most beloved stuffed animal. And he sits up on a high shelf next to some stuff that makes me laugh and a couple plants and some things people have given to me. And I just feel like I could like nestle your little voodoo doll just right up by Gonzo.
Oh, that's very sweet. And actually, I've kind of never thought about like... What if we had voodoo dolls of each other? And this is how I'm going to answer the question. And
yeah, what would you do with mine?
We just, and this is just riffing off of what you said, like keep it safe, etc. I think I would kind of just like, as I do, because we're friends, keep tabs on how you're doing. And if there was like anything specifically that was bothering you, if you're feeling like especially anxious, I might like... tightly wrap the doll in like a small blanket or like do things that would like feel comforting to you from afar.
What
like,
would
if
you
you're
do to the doll when I was having like a horrible bout of depression, as one does? What would you do to the doll to combat this?
I think I would like take it for a drive with me. I would like put it on the dash and like
that.
Play songs that we like.
Oh my god, put
especially
on Demi Lovato
sunny.
In that part, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh my god,
anyway.
Easter egg
yep.
But what would you do with the doll of someone that you did not like?
It's too much power. I think I wouldn't want to see it, like I wouldn't put it in a place of honor in my home, but I wouldn't want to fuck with it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would put it in a shoebox in the closet, which probably wouldn't be like great for them. You know what I mean? Like vitamin D intake would be low.
Oh, yeah. They get rickets
for
no reason.
I just don't think I'd want to like fuck with that. Like, but I also like wouldn't want to like, you know, cast it aside because you just worry about the power, like what could happen.
So right, if the cat gets it, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to keep all these voodoo dolls away from Pops. Yeah, that would
be a
journey.
Put me up on the shelf where I'm susceptible.
No, on the shelf, Poppy can't get up there. You'd be fine.
Okay, that's good.
That's why Gonzo and several plants are up there anyway.
I think I would also be very uncomfortable doing anything, like, actually malicious ever to a doll, because I would...
I also might try and give the doll to the person who it belonged to.
Hey... That's a good idea, but I think...
Be like, I don't want this power. Take your fucking doll. Like,
I think the only mean thing that I would do is maybe, like... And I don't even know if this would work, but I think I might try to, like, put the doll, like, in the garbage or, like, in the bathroom or, like, somewhere where it would, like, smell very, very bad consistently in hopes that that person would experience just that smell. No injury or harm, just a really atrocious smell to follow them through the day.
I mean, still, like, that would... I don't know if I'd like that. That also... that. Can you imagine if everywhere just smelled like the garbage or, like, a giant shit wherever you were at all times?
You know what? I can imagine that. And you know why I can't imagine that? Is because where I work, the fucking city didn't, like... make the infrastructure correctly, like the the sewer system is like not large enough for how many people have like lived there and how developed it's become. And every time it rains, and sometimes not even when it rains, the entire it's like a 3 mile radius just like reeks of sewage. The place that I work at, like guests will come in and be like, do you know that it smells like sewage in here? And I'm like, ma'am, you know what? I do know. And I'm so sorry about that. But like also the parking lot and the bank and the Kroger across the street and the YMCA all smell the same.
Oh my God.
I'm very, gross. Very sorry, but I cannot do anything about it. And it is not our fault. That's sick. So I can't imagine.
That is sick.
But maybe someone has a voodoo doll of me or everyone in that area, and they're just pushing us into sewage, just pushing us.
Yeah, maybe there's one person who like lives there and never leaves that area who's in a sewage voodoo doll situation, and the rest of you are being affected by it.
That's terrible.
We solved it. What if that's what's happening? You don't know.
I feel that could be a late 90s horror comedy, perhaps starring Seth Green and Jessica Alba.
Oh, I would watch it. I would starring Seth Green and it. Jessica Alba only. Yep.
One man's stench on an entire town. Everyone is punished. Anyway, so this week, we would love to hear from you. I would love to know what kind of rituals you're doing. If you have questions, hit me up, but please know that I will advise you to be careful. But tell me about your magical practices. Tell us. We want to know. And where can they do that?
They can do that, as always, on the internet at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, or via Twitter at WAYLTTweets.
All right. As always, good evening, good day, good night, good morning.
Good night. Be careful with your voodoo dolls.
Please do. Don't forget to rate and review. We love you. We love it. Goodbye.
Bye.